Welcome to Culture, Talent, and Growth. Join Anish Shah and the Ruckus team as they invite dynamic leaders to share what they've learned about creating lasting culture, attracting great talent, and achieving sustainable growth. Let's get started.
All right. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to have you on. It's a pleasure to chat with you about your work today.
Yeah, definitely. I'm stoked to be talking to you again. I feel like the recruiting process with you all was awesome. So yeah, just happy to always talk.
Thanks so much. So a guy walks into a bar and he unknowingly walks out with a career in sales. It sounds like someone forgot the punchline, but it's the true story of how you got your start in your sales career. Please tell me the story.
Yep. I'm glad I finally get to tell you because I feel like our first call, we kind of ended with like, okay, maybe one day I'll tell you the story. And here
we
are.
Today's the day.
Yeah. Like 4 months later, which is wild to think about that you and I first connected in December as we're recording, right? It's April. Crazy. So yeah, guy walks into a bar, right? So went to college, started in business, switched to psych. I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to do like industrial organizational psychology, like sort of that team building, like HR side of things. Get out of college. Did no internships during my time. So that was like mistake number one. And then I realized, I was like, oh shoot, you kind of need to like have had an internship in industrial organizational psych to be in that realm, right? Started to apply over the summer, you know, for maybe like a fall internship. Wasn't really getting anywhere. Was sort of just back at home, depressed, right? Like, oh my gosh, all my friends have roles. I'm back at home. What am I doing? Like unemployed, because I feel like I had a great time in college, a lot of different experiences. And then I was like, wow, like how did I do all that stuff? And I'm unemployed, right? Life comes at you fast.
I hear that. Ex-psych major as well. It was a struggle.
Yeah. So I knew I didn't necessarily want to go back to school right away for psych if I was going to go down that path. But then I also realized like, okay, like if you do want a career in psych, you obviously need a master's or a PhD. So I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. Through all this, right, I end up going to like this restaurant opening with some people. We're at the restaurant opening and this guy like kind of was like eyeing me and my group, like, hey, kind of weird. Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at us? Kind of came over, started a little like small talk conversation. I'm like, all right, cool. Like still kind of weird. I don't know why you're talking to me. He walks away, you know, time passes. And then I guess, you know, as things happen at the bar, right, some liquid courage is consumed, right? The walls kind of come down. And so we start talking and he's like, hey, what are you about? And again, being self-conscious, unemployed, 20 something, I just start BSing, right? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like really into industrial organizational psychology, like want to figure out how to get deeper into that realm, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I know someone who's in that field. They're sort of like an executive coach. And again, being like a 21-year-old, I'm like, oh, I could for sure be an executive coach, not realizing you need all this career experience to coach other people.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'd love to connect you. Again, in my mind, sure. Why would this guy who I've just met at a bar of all places connect me with someone he knows? I'm like, sure, man, here's my email. Shoot me a note, right? Like, we'll see what happens. Lo and behold, wake up the next day, like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. He shoots me an email. Hey, Kyle, super great meeting you last night. Oh, no way, right? This is my friend Beth. You know, you can take it from here. So I'm like, okay, crazy. Number one, that this guy actually connected me to someone. Look this gal up on LinkedIn and she's an executive coach through this group. I think it was called Vistage or Vantage. It's sort of like kind of like a YPO, right? For entrepreneurs, like they get coaching through this group, right? So I'm like, hey, Beth, name's Kyle. Here's my resume. Would kind of love to figure out how to be like a you. And she probably reads it and is laughing like, okay, again, you're 21. It's not going to happen. But she's like, so I'm like, hey, can I just meet with you for 15 minutes for coffee? Can we talk? She's like, yeah, sure. Let's meet at a Panera. And it's funny because now I go to this boxing place. It's like right across from the Panera. I'm like, wow, full circle. So meet this Panera, 15 minutes turns into 3 hours. Like this woman just for no reason gave me so much of her time. Right. And kind of like set me down this path. And she's like, you know what? I think you'd be great in sales. I'm like, okay, I don't really, you kind of have that perception of sales at first. It's like, I don't know, but I'm like, hey, if you give me like 3 hours of your time, whatever you think is best, like, let's do it. She's like, yeah, I'll connect you with some of the founders that I work with. So then over the next 2 or 3 months, she introduces me to a couple different people. Great conversations. Some of them just didn't work out. But it was funny because all these people that I talked to, they're like, you would be great in sales. We just don't have the trading for you. But still, I'm like, no way, like me in sales. And then I finally end up talking to this guy, Chris Aranaga, who was the owner of Guerrilla Marketing, which was my first role out of college. So got connected to him and things sort of worked out. And that was my first job, right? In promotional marketing and corporate gifting, which obviously lends my experience to here, right? At Venus at Fleur, which we'll talk about. But yeah, met a guy at a bar, just kind of turned off to the conversation, ends up working out, right? Which I think for me is always a reminder, like, get out of your shell. Don't just be on your phone. You never know what's going to happen from a conversation, right? Just like with us, reached out on LinkedIn. I was super sick. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really don't even want to like think about anything right now.
I remember.
Yeah. And then I'm like, yeah. And then obviously you reach out again. You're like, hey, like, you want to talk? I'm like, sure. Again, it's like, you never know what's going to happen from a conversation.
Absolutely. I love that story. First of all, it's hilarious. Secondly, it does capture so much of what I have seen in you, your strengths as a salesperson, your openness, your ability to have captivating and energetic, personalized conversations with folks. I think so much of that connection and interpersonal interactions are what make you a strong salesperson. So I'm excited to dive in more. You mentioned your first sales role out of college. You've worked across a wide variety of goods and services, promotional goods, marketing and services, most recently hospitality software. Now you're the head of sales at Venus at Fleur. You lead their B2B sales. Their luxury florals are absolutely iconic. They're getting into home goods. Tell me, what has that transition been like moving from those other industries to luxury goods? And what's been most enjoyable so far?
Yeah, it's definitely like a fun transition because I think I've been able to take all the things I've learned along the way. And I think I messaged you. I'm like, wow, this is the role and like the team that I've been waiting for and hoping for, just in terms of the culture, the product, like the passion, which we'll definitely talk about from the founders, right? But I think like for me, first with corporate gifting, promotional products, right? That's where I started. I learned to sell. I kind of learned the importance of brand, right? Because I was working with hospitality brands, finance brands, you know, colleges. I got to work with my alma mater. So learning like, okay, brand is very important, right? We can't kind of delineate from that, which is also very true here, right? I love that our founders are so like fiercely protective of our brand, which makes it very easy, right? It's, this is who we'll work with. This is who we won't, right? If it falls into the who we won't work with, it's an easy no, right? It's, which makes it easy for me because as a seller, as a buyer, right? It's always hard to kind of tell the person on the other end, no. Right. Whether, hey, we're not going to buy from you, or for me in my role now, hey, we're not going to work with you on this partnership. Maybe it'll work out down the road, but currently we're not open to maybe exploring that. It just makes it easy, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, it's a no. So we're just going to move away from that. It makes it very easy for me. Again, also being like a psych major, having some people pleasing tendencies, I feel like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to let this person down. But I love that we can just be very protective of our brand, right? With software sales, I feel like it forced me to kind of get out of that longer sales cycle that we get into in-person selling, right? It's easy for in-person selling to rely on rapport building and let me take you out to lunch, let me take it to dinner, right? Just hoping by doing these favors that we're going to get a sale with no action items around it. Like, sure, it's great to take someone out for a meal or for drinks, but where's the action item around it? Are you just taking them out to take them out? Or after that, it's like, you know, where's that transition of, hey, asking for the business? Because ultimately we always have to ask for the business, right? So software sales help me get out of that kind of mindset of like, okay, we're just gonna like, don't just do a favor for a favor. And like, at the end of the day, like, we know we're at a business lunch. We're here to talk about business. So talk about business, ask for the business, right? So again, like bringing that here, right? Cause I think, you know, we have one salesperson who's been here for a while, more of like an inside sales role. We definitely want to transition that person into more of an outside sales role, which they're pretty excited about. I'm pretty excited about. And as we start to hire, right, we're working with you to bring on more sellers to my team. That's like a lot of what I'm not necessarily looking for, but I think I would coach to, right? Just people who've been in field sales for a while, it's like, we do have to have this kind of regimented process that I learned in software sales, right? Meeting one, what do we do after that? Meeting two, what do we do after that? So I think what I've most enjoyed so far is that I'm getting to take all the different things that I've learned, right? From corporate gifting to software sales, putting it into action here. And I get to work with the verticals that I'm excited about, right? I've worked with hospitality brands, right? I get to do that here. You know, talking to the founders during my interview process. I'm like, I'm super into sports. I'm like, hey, what's your idea around that? Told them, right? We get to go after fashion brands. Just the type of clientele that we get to work towards or work with. And like for me, getting to be more of like an enterprise seller in addition to managing the team, right? Going after those big national, multinational brands is super exciting.
Absolutely. I think that's such a strong point about the company's focus on brand. I think whether it's related to our jobs or in our personal life, we've all been sold something or someone has tried to sell us something that we simply did not want and was not even remotely close to the right fit for us. So I think it really sets the team up for success to have such a strong brand voice and such a clearly defined customer or set of customers. So you've already shared some of what you've been learning about what works, what doesn't work, and the learnings you've applied from your previous roles. You've been in the role for a few months now. Can you tell me about those early learnings, about your early time on the team?
Yeah, I think number one, and this is something that I've tried to do in previous roles, but made sure I did here, right? It's okay to be the beginner or the new person, right? I think we've all been in new roles where we don't want to ask the question because we're going to look dumb, right? But remembering that, hey, we are new to the team. We don't know everything about the brand and the processes that are in place. So that's something I've really worked on in this first couple months is just asking questions, all the questions, right? Just telling my bosses in a joking manner, like, hey, you'll probably get annoyed with me, but let me get these questions out up front. That way we're not 4 or 5 months down the road and you're like, well, Kyle, why don't you know this, right? So asking questions I've been big about. We talked about passion, or I mentioned passion a little earlier. I really love that our founders are super passionate about this business. All the success that they've had, the influencers they've worked with, the brands they've worked with, the three of them are still so passionate about getting Venus to the next level, right? And I love that even though BD is, you know, kind of new for our business, I can see that passion that they have to see me succeed. It's like, hey, we know we haven't gone after corporate sales. We need to equip Kyle and his team with all that we can to make sure we get to where we need to be. So don't hide the passion, right? I think some folks, it's easy to hide the passion and be like, oh, like, I don't want to turn people off by the ideas that I have or always, you know, shouting out these new things. But to see Sunny, Nick, and Seema be so open with their passion for the business, that inspires me. So that's a good reminder for myself. Like, I should be, certain situations, obviously, you have to tone it down, but I shouldn't like necessarily hide my passion for my team as we bring on more people. And never stop networking, right? The founders know seemingly everyone under the sun, which is so cool. And they seem to know them so personally as well. So it's a good reminder for me, like, never stop networking, whether it's meeting people on LinkedIn, maybe not necessarily social media, but like LinkedIn and then like in-person events in like a natural way, right? I've been to my fair share of networking events that I don't think are the best. Sometimes you do get great connections from it. But I think just keeping up with past connections or past coworkers that you've worked with, because it seems like, again, Sunny, Seema, Nick know absolutely everyone. And that doesn't happen, you know, with a wave of a wand, right? They're actively staying in contact with their network and their friends. So that's a good reminder for me to do so.
Very well said. And you started to talk about building out your team. I know that you've shared with me previously that your passion and a lot of your career goals are surrounding building and coaching an exceptional sales team. So what are you looking for as you build your department?
Yeah, I think for me, number one is being coachable, right? Whether you come from a luxury background, which we're definitely looking for, right? Whether you come from a SaaS tech sales background, whether you come from a marketing background and you're looking to switch into sales. Number one for me is just being coachable, right? I know a lot of great things, but I'm certainly not the best. Just coming with that attitude and mentality, it's what I've shared with our team here. It's like, yeah, I know I would like to think a decent amount of sales about sales, but I certainly don't know everything, right? I definitely don't know a lot about Venus. So I'm here to learn, right? It's not just Kyle has his proven playbook and that's the only thing that we're going to do. Yeah, there's some great stuff, but maybe not all that applies to here, right? So being coachable, you know, even if someone maybe doesn't have that luxury experience, again, we can teach them, I think, this industry and this vertical. I just want to see sort of that solid sales background, someone who's disciplined, right? Again, just being in field sales previously, I know how easy it is to be like, oh, squirrel, right? What's over there? So being, you know, trying to find someone who has that sort of like regimented day or sticks to a schedule relatively so, right? Like from 9 a.m., I'm doing my prospect research. 10 to 11, I'm doing that outreach. 11 to 1 o'clock is my meeting time. 1 to 2 is my catch-up, whatever it is, right? Someone who has that sort of schedule in their day and someone who kind of like owns the mistakes, admits the mistakes, and kind of moves on from it, right? Like hey, let's debrief. Maybe this deal didn't go the way we wanted it to. What did we learn from it? How can we apply that to the next opportunity? And just move on from it, right? Like, I don't think it's a failure. The only failure to me is if we don't learn the lesson, right? Or if we're like sticking too much to, oh my gosh, that deal didn't go well. All right, it's been a month, it's been 2 months, right? We'll get the next one. Don't sort of dwell on things from the past too much. And I guess the last thing to me, I guess, would be just adaptable, right? Venus, we're still, even though we're a very established brand, I think in some ways we still have that startup gritty mentality to us, which I love. But I think anyone that's coming on, whether they have the startup experience previously or not, just has to know that, hey, there is, number one, a lot of freedom, which most sales folks enjoy. There's also ambiguity, right? So being adaptable, knowing that, hey, even though we're doing one thing today, maybe we're doing something differently next week. Some folks want very rigid structure, right? That maybe a larger, more established company like a Deloitte or an Apple might have. I don't know. I've never worked there, but just assume that's how it is. If that's what you want, great. I would encourage someone to maybe look towards that, because here's, again, for me, I love the freedom and the ambiguity. Maybe, you know, you don't. So
absolutely. I think it's really powerful what you said. It's only a failure if you don't learn the lesson. I think that speaks so strongly to building a positive, healthy, and successful culture. Success is not always doing it perfectly the first time, but growing and making sure the next time you're better set up for success. So I absolutely love that positive coaching mentality. And sure, it's a testament to the incredible growth that Venus has already had. To wrap up, it was such a pleasure getting to work with you and being a part of your journey to join the team at Venus of Floor. Can you please share a little bit about your experience working with Ruckus?
Yeah, totally. Like I said in the beginning, it was awesome to work with you all. This is the first one. I mean, I've definitely worked with other recruiters in the past. I think maybe this is the only one that's, you know, worked with an external recruiter that turned into a role that I accepted an offer. Yeah, I think this is probably the only role that I've accepted an offer from where we started with an external recruiter. But I love that yourself, your team, right? Everyone was very transparent. You always provided timely updates. I follow up a lot. And I know for some folks that can be an annoyance. But again, that's just, for me, I think what sets myself apart in terms of sales. So I love that you always had an answer for me. Or if you didn't, you're like, hey, I haven't connected with Nick and the team. I'll get back to you in a day or so, right? And in a day or so, you had an update for me. So what I love, again, it's sales doing what we say we're going to do. So I appreciate that you would do what you said you were going to do, which is awesome. Also, like, I mean, again, working in corporate gifting previously and kind of being in that space again, like, was totally not expecting to receive that survey at the end of the process to pick out a gift. I thought that was super cool. Again, shows that Ruckus knows the value of corporate gifting and recognition. But again, like, I was like, okay, I already have this awesome job, and now you're going to send me a little link to pick out a gift. Picked out a cool beer sampler, which I think the next one's coming up here in a week or two. But yes, what the heck? Like, cool people to work with, like, throughout the process. I get the job. You help me with that whole thing. And then now I get the gift as well. There's a cool process for sure, like, from start to finish.
Thank you so much, Kyle. It really is a pleasure. I think Team Ruckus always appreciates the value of networking, like you said, from a sales perspective, but also just from a human connection perspective. I know my favorite thing about working in recruiting is getting to hear the passion that you're describing, getting to see people who want to make an impact, who want to succeed and to help others do the same, go out there and thrive. So speaking of which, I'm sure you've got a lot of selling to do today. We'll let you get back to it. Thank you so much for your time. It was great chatting with you.
No doubt. This was awesome. Thanks, Kendall.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to Culture, Talent, and Growth. If you found value in this conversation, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with a friend. You can visit bringruckus.com for more ways to connect. And remember, new episodes come out on Tuesday.